For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do you live with Jesus today? It's a little bit of that stuff of, come, Lord Jesus. Where'd he go? You not live with Jesus?
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on August 27, 2025, and is titled, Be a Contender. So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
I mean, it's a great question. Yes, I know that he ascended, but his spirit's been poured out. Because of bad teaching about the Trinity, you've got this pie that we cut three ways. You've still got one guy over here hanging on a sticker, riding on a jackass. You got another guy over here in a big lawn chair with a big beard and white hair. And then you got Casper the Friendly Ghost bouncing around all over the earth, wherever they call him to. That's not how that works. The three are one and the one is three. In the beginning, when they hovered over the expanse of the earth, it was the Spirit of God. God is Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's Jesus in me. He's the Father in me. Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If you know me, you know the Father. It's all by the power of the Holy Spirit that's brought resurrection to us. That's what I've said every Easter. I don't need a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection lives in me. I don't have to prove it with a rock or a shroud or a hole or anything else. I'm a living proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, for crying out loud. I don't have to be convinced. And death no longer has dominion over him. Let me tell you one other thing about being a contender. If you ain't afraid of dying, you dangerous. And death has no dominion, and fear of death. There is no death. Translation from this life to the next. This shortage of rope and steers we got going on, I hope heaven has saved a few back. It's a joke, honey. I'm joking. I don't know how that works. But death has no dominion over you. If death has no dominion over you, where's fear come from? I'll be real honest with y'all. I don't have any fear of dying. Got a little bit of fear of pain. Yeah. It says right here that for the death that he died to sin once for all. That perfect sacrifice, one time, took care of it all. How many of us still walk in unfinished business when Jesus hung from the cross and said it's finished? For the death he died once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Do you live to God by simply being an attender? Or do you live to God because the Spirit in you cries out, Abba, Father? Now I'm going to start meddling. Because we got a lot of people like to play Christian. So they'll be in the right place at the right time doing the right stuff to satisfy other people who claim to be Christians. The Spirit of God inside you cries out, Abba, Father, there's a connection. There's a kingdom connection that has opened the door. It's opened heaven. We live, those of us born again live under an open heaven. We can approach the throne room of grace because that curtain was rent in two. We walk right into the Holy of Holies and we dwell there. We dwell in the presence of God. We don't go beckoning him up. We don't go calling him back. You know, David gave one of the best examples of that when they were moving the Ark of the Covenant one day and they're going down the road and over
Uzzah or whatever his name, yeah, it's Uzzah or something like that. But they're going down through there, and that thing gets on tilt in the ditch, and they're trying to get the GPS on the oxen to get it up there, and then he reaches over and touches that thing, and it kills him. And David said, "Don't bring that thing to my house." Do you know how many organizations in America today that have been right up next to the presence of God to the point they knew it was going to kill them? It'll kill the presence of God. It'll kill your religion. It'll kill your idols. It'll kill all the stuff that don't belong to God. So they'll do like David and say, "Keep it over there. Send that thing over to Obed-Edom's house. Don't bring it here. That's dangerous." Do you know the Holy Ghost is dangerous? Holy Ghost will cost you relationships. We thought that being a Christian was all about making friends in a bigger pile. Let me tell you something. Being filled with the Holy Ghost will make people not want to be around you. To some, it's the aroma of Christ, and to others, it's the stench of death. But we're not trained that way as Christians. It's hard to have a potluck dinner all by yourself. It's the truth. He said, "Send that thing over there." Pretty soon, old Obed-Edom, he's just an old boy. And pretty soon, them blessings from heaven is flowing out in his house. And old David, he's standing over there watching. You know, old David was pretty bad about looking over the fence. Just saying. He's standing over there watching. Now, I'm telling you, tonight is absolutely 100% unrehearsed. And he said, "Hey, you better bring that thing back over here." Don't be scared of the power of God. But just know this, that your walk of obedience will lead to the blessings of God. Not the obedience of your attendance, the obedience of your faith. The ability to hear God and believe God, to hear His word and believe His word, to know it, to know it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let your sin rule. Hold every thought captive. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, I'm just preaching to me, and y'all can sit here and listen a minute. That you should obey in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. I mean, for crying out loud. How many of y'all ever been to a dead church service? You got to be alive, man. We're alive from the dead. Do you live as one who is alive from the dead? Do you have life? Do you speak life? Do you represent life? In order to do that, you have to die. Be raised in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." And here's where I'm going to finish tonight. The power of grace. Power of grace is the power over sin. Grace doesn't permit sin. Grace doesn't pretend to be on a narrow road when it's wide. We have preachers all over the world that'll stand on a wide road and call it narrow. won't draw a line between right and wrong, won't tell the truth, always working towards the crowd, always working the numbers, self-promoters, always chasing the billfolds, all that old silly stuff. They'll get you trapped in hell just like the angels that were with the Archangel Michael when they disobeyed God and he had a place reserved for him. Well, listen, all you pretenders that are up here preaching and doing your stuff, and, you know, I just having a hard time finding in Scripture where you need 5 airplanes in a 4 airplane hangar. I'm just having a hard time with it all. Where you stand around and preach a greasy grace, cheap grace. Grace isn't just forgiveness. Grace isn't just restoration. Grace is dominion over sin. Grace is the power to quit it. Grace is what happens in the midst of repentance. Grace is the power of God. Paul wrote it in his epistles himself. It's the power of grace. Power of grace. How many have received God's grace yet don't walk in any power? This is how I talk to an alcoholic or a meth head. You better come to know the power of God's grace. Oh, he's kind and he's merciful. He's open-handed and open-armed. He'll receive you back unto himself. But his power of his grace says the sin will be cast to the abyss. The sin will be trampled on as ashes. The sin has been covered in the blood of Jesus. The sin has been destroyed. The sin will go away. Not because you're working your way to heaven, but because heaven has come upon you. And the dominion of God to rule against evil, that's grace. Therefore, contenders can stand up in the face of evil. Contenders for the gospel don't fear what's evil. You take that guy up there that a lot of people are still having a hard time getting to really love him, but he's the president of the United States. He's the highest man in the land. Best thing ever happened to him, got shot in the ear. That's what needs to happen to the church today. We need to get shot in the ear. Find out what we're made of. We'll go down one way and come up another. He had a baptism by fire that day. He went down one way and came up another. Now, I don't know if he's ever jumped in the water. I don't know anything about it. But I know this much. He ain't afraid to stand up in the midst of evil. You got preachers in this country today that'll denounce a guy like him. Really? You're a hireling and a coward and you're talking about him? That guy knows there's 2 4-30s. That's a guy that works 7 days a week. That's a guy that looks at gang members and bad people and says, I'm going to catch you and get you off the street. We can't even clean up our own little towns. You know, one of the biggest atrocities that ever happened in this town, has been prophesied over at the very inception of this town. I went and read this stuff a long time ago. I did my homework because I live here. You do know that alcohol will get you on a path you shouldn't be on, and it'll take you to death. And we've had plenty of it since we started selling alcohol in this town. I'm not going to name the names, but we've had plenty of funerals in this town because of promoters of alcohol and the ones who were subject to it. And this town had to have it. We had a small group of people in this town that had to have it. And a few of us stood up. You stood. We've all stood. We stood with our voices, our money, our resources. And 2 times we legally put it to bed, tromped on it, and sent it out the door.
till the other side finally had to cheat and lie and deceive and box, am I right, Alan, or not? Box us out of the equation so that you could have that pollution in your town that is a gateway to evil and a gateway to destruction. And when it came time for the church to stand up, there wasn't much help. One of the reasons is you dare not go to their house and look in their refrigerator. But because we don't have very many contenders, mostly the parents of those people who were promoters of that stuff. God, I've been waiting a long time to tell this. If you raised one of them, shame on you. I hope you're listening on there tonight. I know you're not in here. I preached you out of this building a long time ago. But to stand up and contend. You see, if we were contenders, there wouldn't be so many mosques. If we were contenders, we wouldn't be protected of gay rights parades and rainbow flags. Things that are abominations to the Lord Himself. We'd contend for what's right and what's true. But because we distorted grace like we've distorted everything else, we taught that grace is just acceptance. And we didn't tell you that grace was power to overcome evil, to have dominion over evil, dominion over sin. That's the power of God's grace. Grace never changed the truth. It just gave sinners like me the opportunity to come back to plumb. The power to overcome sin and evil. I hope somebody learned something in here tonight. Let me tell you something. When you go home in the privacy of your own mind, whatever it is you're dealing with, I want you to go read them first verses of Romans 6. And I want you to ask yourself first, am I truly born again? Am I truly a child of God? If so, have I died and been raised to new life? And if so, then God, today, I want you to remind me, and I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to remember it, I'm going to remind myself, that's by the power of your grace that sin will not rule in my life. And in my home, in my family, and in my realm of influence, dominion over sin is the power of the grace of God, bought and paid for by the very own Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh, who died and went to a tomb and raised to new life in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. And as long as I'm alive, I will praise the Lord and tell the truth. So, y'all good? You had enough? Let's quit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. God, your word is so awesome. You're so faithful and it's so good. Help us all to walk in the power that you've put forth, that you've given us, the reality of your kingdom, the reality of your resurrection. Lord, draw us to whatever it is we need to be drawn to as individuals. Lord, if you're drawing some to baptism, let them speak up. We'll make it happen. Lord, draw us to be dead to ourselves and alive in you, Christ Jesus. We continue to pray over our community. We pray over our nation. We pray over our homes, families, kitchen tables. God, watch over us, lead us, guide us, and direct us. And may it all be to your glory. those in our lives who are sick and hurting and different things, we give you praise and glory for some of the healing. Lord, there's been a lot of healing happening the next little bit, and there's a lot of healing to come, and we just thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.